In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. We do this broadcast live. We're going to be looking at the infancy narratives, especially the narrative of John the Baptist this morning. And it's Luke 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly class of Abijah. His wife, a descendant of Aaron, named Elizabeth. So we see they are from the priestly family. Remember Aaron? Aaron is the priest. And Zechariah is from the priestly class also. Both were just in the eyes of God. Now, what does that mean? If they were just, the just man lives by faith. Both lived by faith in the eyes of God, blamelessly following all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. But they were childless, for Elizabeth was sterile. Moreover, both were advanced in years. So this is a real difficulty, you see, because you need to see that for Israel and for the Jews, children are the most important thing in the whole world. They had 12 sons. They had 6 daughters. They had many, many children. The children were my legacy. But Elizabeth was barren. And you know, when someone's barren, people would be talking, and you know what they'd say? I wonder what they did wrong, that they have no blessings. I wonder what they did wrong, but they did nothing wrong. They lived by faith, and they prayed to have a child, and they prayed to have a child, and they prayed to have a child, and guess what? They were advanced in years, and Elizabeth was sterile, and it seemed like the prayer was not answered. And once, when it was the turn of Zechariah's class, that he was fulfilling his function as a priest before God, it fell to him by lot, according to the priestly usage, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. So it was Zechariah's turn to offer incense to the Lord. And while the full assembly of the people was praying outside at the incense hour, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was deeply disturbed upon seeing him and overcome by fear. An angel of the Lord. Zechariah's turn was to offer incense before the altar of incense. And I'm telling you, he was not expecting an angelic visitation. And there he is, Gabriel, the archangel, the mighty one from God, sent from God. And the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, whom you shall name John. Joy and gladness will be yours, and many will rejoice at his birth." John, we've stopped praying. We've stopped praying. Elizabeth is old. How can this be? This is what he's thinking. How can this be? We've stopped praying for a child. Those days are over. What do you mean we're going to have a baby? What do you mean we're going to name him John? What do you mean many will rejoice at his birth? For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will never drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Oh, yes. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. When did that happen? Do you remember? Do you remember when Mary, our blessed mother, came into the house of Zechariah? The babe within her womb leapt for joy. Who is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the sound of your voice, the baby leapt with joy. It's amazing. It's amazing. But you see, Zechariah doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. Many of the sons of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and God himself will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the rebellious to the wisdom of the just, and to prepare for the Lord a people well disposed. Oh, to prepare for the Lord a people well disposed, ready to hear God's word, ready to follow God's word, ready to do what God tells them to do. Zechariah said to the angel, "How am I to know this? How am I to know this? I am an old man. My wife is advanced in age. She's gone through the change of life already. How am I to know this? This is too good to be true. I don't believe it." And the scripture says, the angel replied, "I am Gabriel, who stand in attendance before God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now you will be mute, unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you have not trusted my words." You have not trusted my words. The sin of unbelief. Yeah. Like, what else do you need? You've got an angelic visitation. You sense the presence of God. You're in the altar of incense. You feel presence of God like you've never felt before, because he sent one of his key angels who stands in the presence of God. And you doubt? You know what's going to happen to you? You will be mute, unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you have not trusted my words. They will all come true in due season. And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering at his delay in the temple. When he finally came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision. He kept making signs to them, for he remained speechless. Then, when his time of priestly service was over, he went home. And afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. She went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "In these days, the Lord is acting on my behalf. He has seen fit to remove my reproach among men." You see, it was a reproach not to have children, that the Lord has removed my reproach among men. What I want to talk a little bit about right now is that when God tells us something, we need to believe it. When the Lord speaks to us, be it through his word, or be it through a priest, or be it through a minister, or be it on radio, and we sense the word of God is for us, we need to believe it. We need to take it to heart. We do not want to say, "Well, I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. She is beyond childbearing." And that was all true. But the angel of the Lord was dispatched at this time, at this moment, to Zechariah, because John was going to play such an important part in the ministry of Messiah. John was going to play such an important part in the ministry of Messiah. He would be the precursor of the Messiah. He would be the one who was not worthy to untie his sandals, but the one who would announce the coming of Messiah, John. And this family was a righteous family. They lived by faith. It was Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had no children. But now the angel comes, and Zechariah refuses to believe. And as a result, you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. Now the scripture goes on. In the sixth month, what sixth month? That's the sixth month of the pregnancy of John the Baptist. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Oh, the virgin's name was Mary. This angel is kind of busy now. First to Zechariah, now to Mary. The virgin's name was Mary, and upon arriving, the angel said to her, "Hail, O full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Mary was deeply troubled at the greeting. She was deeply troubled. Again, it's an angel. And deeply troubled at these words and wondered, what kind of greeting was this? And the angel went on to tell her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found grace, favor with God. You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Here it is now. First time we hear his holy name. You shall call his name Jesus. Great will he be, and his dignity will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be without end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" Let's see the difference between Zechariah and Mary. Is Mary doubting? Well, you know what? Mary doesn't have a husband. So this is a reasonable question. Zechariah had a wife, but you say she was beyond those years. Well, we'll hear in a couple of seconds that nothing is impossible with God. So Mary questions, but she doesn't question with the door closed. She just wonders, how could this be? I don't have a husband. I've never had relations with the man. Let's see what happens. "How can this be, since I do not know man?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hence the holy offspring to be born will be called Son of God. And know that Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was thought to be sterile is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." And with that, the angel left her. This angelic visitation to Mary, and this Mary saying, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word," brings salvation to the world. Salvation was brought to the world when Mary said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." From heaven, the word of God leapt into the womb, the spotless womb of the Virgin Mary. How do I know spotless? "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Spotless womb of the Virgin Mary. Her yes brings salvation to the whole world. Her yes, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, the one to be born shall be called Holy, Son of God." Let me tell you this. When you have the Holy Spirit and the yes to God, you have great things that are going to happen. Mary said yes to God. Mary said yes to the angel. She didn't say, "Well, you know what? I'm betrothed to Joseph. What's he going to think?" She didn't say, "They can stone me because I'm pregnant and I don't have a husband." She didn't say those things. She said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." Our Blessed Mother is the yes woman, the woman who brings salvation to the earth. And I'm telling you, for people who do not honor Mary, the scripture says, honor your mother and your father. Jesus honored Mary. And if Jesus honors Mary, I want to honor Mary too. She was not some kind of incubator that held the Son of God. She was the choice of the Father. She was the only choice of the Father. She was the daughter of the Father, and she becomes the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Mary is not just any old woman, any woman in Nazareth. She, from all eternity, was destined to be the mother of our Savior, the mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of God. And with her cooperation, with her yes, things begin to happen. Can I also tell you, with your yes, things begin to happen too. With your yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, things begin to happen. But will you say yes to the Lord? I was thinking about last week when somebody was at the door of the sacristy, and I was just about to go out and pray for the sick. And they were there, and I said, well, come on in, come on in. And the man told me, I have cancer throughout my body. And I could have said to him, well, go outside. We're going to be praying for the sick anyway. I could have said that. But I said, yes. I said, put my hand on his head and said the most beautiful prayer, miracles, miracles, miracles in the name of Jesus. And all the cancer in his back was healed. Now, he has cancer throughout his body. I haven't heard about the rest of the cancer, but I heard about all the cancer in his back was healed. Our yes makes a difference. Your yes makes a difference. You know, my yes to come here today, I pray it makes a difference for you. It makes a difference for you. Your yes to continue to walk with God in faith makes a difference. It makes a difference. Many years ago, there was this woman that was at a service that it was a conference, and she was leaving the conference because she was bored, and they asked me to pray over her and just to give her a blessing, and my yes and the person's yes that brought it to me brought healing to her. She didn't even believe in healing, yet God healed her of the pain in her back, which was so excruciating that even pain clinics couldn't help her. This is so interesting that our yes under the influence of the Holy Spirit makes a difference. It makes a difference. Our yes. I think of Janet, who heard the Lord say, we've been praising God as we worship Him in the Eucharist. We need to give hands to this. And the Lord is asking us to go out to the streets. God heard, spoke to her, and her yes to tell us this caused for 7 or 8 years, as many years as we've been going, the people out in the street to be fed and to be ministered to and to be prayed with because she said yes. And now Father Joshi says yes, and Father Joseph says yes, and all the people who serve the people out in the street every Saturday, they say yes. Our yes makes a difference. Your yes makes a difference. And I don't care who you are. When we say yes to God under the influence of the Holy Spirit, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. Mary said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And let me tell you, then the angel left her. I'm going to tell you, if you ever needed an angel, that's when you needed one, because she has to break the news to Joseph. But what does Mary do? Thereupon Mary set out, proceeding with haste to the hill country, to the town of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. Tradition says that this was the first sign of life that Elizabeth had in the 6th month of the pregnancy. This is the first sign of life. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out in a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You see, she honors Mary because she realizes under the Holy Spirit that this is the mother of her Lord. The moment your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. Blessed are you, Mary, that you trusted that the Lord's words to you would be fulfilled. Again, I'm saying to you, when God has spoken to you, trust him that those words would be fulfilled. And how does Mary respond? Oh, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit finds joy in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his servant in her lowliness. All generations to come shall call me blessed. Oh, God has done mighty things for me, and holy is his name. How? This is Mary. Mary is always, always, always pointing to the greatness of God. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit finds joy in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations shall call me blessed, because God, who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from age to age on those who fear him. He has shown strength of his arm. He has confused the proud in their innermost thoughts. He has disposed the mighty from their thrones. He has raised up the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has upheld Israel his servant, ever mindful of his mercy, even as he promised our fathers, he promised Abraham and his descendants forever. Oh, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Mary responds with praise. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Oh, Mary responds by praising God. Praising God. She is truly a descendant of David, a praiser. She is truly a descendant of David, one who worships God. She is truly a descendant of David, one who keeps the word of God. You see, Mary is more than a vessel that holds Jesus. And I am not a mother. I will never be a mother. But any mother that has had any child does not carry that child without love, does not carry that child without concern, does not carry that child without deep affection. The affection doesn't start when the child comes into the earth. The affection starts in the womb. Oh, Mary loved that child. During the whole 9 months, Mary loved that child. And what does it say? And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned home. Tomorrow, we'll look at that 3 months and we'll go back to Obed-Edom and we'll see, well, I can tell you now. The Ark of the Covenant stayed in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months and brought fruitfulness to the house of Obed-Edom. Mary stays in the house of John or the house of Zechariah 3 months and brings fruitfulness to the house of Zechariah. David danced before the Ark of the Lord, remember? And John danced before the Ark of the Lord. Who is the Ark of the Lord? Mary. Mary is the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. For within her womb is the Son of the Most High God, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. In her womb she enfolds the Savior of the world. O Mary, Mother of God, cause us to love Jesus. O Mary, Mother of God, bring us to the foot of the cross. O Mary, Mother of God, help us to love Jesus. O Mary, Mother of God, give us your maternal blessing. Even as you blessed Elizabeth, we pray that you would bless us. Even as you blessed Zechariah, you would bless us. Because Mary is never apart from Jesus. Mary is never apart from Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us, sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. Please, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please, take the scriptures this week and go through Luke 1 and Luke 2. Read those scriptures. Read these infancy narratives. Read under the influence of the Holy Spirit. See how great God is that He chose this Virgin of Nazareth to bring forth the Son of the Eternal God. Oh, the Virgin is never without Jesus, and Jesus always is with the Virgin, I'll tell you. This is a package. As Father Ray used to say, they go together, Jesus and Mary. Again, I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And if you need repair in your roof, call Jimmy the Roofer, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.